There he is. Rich, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Rich, I just was going to talk about the potential for this Breeders' Cup because of the way Santa Anita's playing and because they've kept the track slow, trying to equate it and keep it as safe as possible. That horses that have arrived early and horses that are local, you know, when it comes to the main track, how decisive an edge are you going to give them next week?
Well, that's a really good question because the Santa Anita track is a lot different now than it's been in years. They've really slowed it down. It's a lot deeper. I thought we saw kind of a little taste of how a shipper might, handle a different track. Is, you know, we've seen Seeking the Soul come out to Southern California and not do well, and I think a lot has to do with the track surface. But I've noticed some of the trainers have opted to come out early, like a Steve Asmussen mm-hmm. and some others. And I think that's a smart move, the acclimation of, even if they don't get a full-blown work, but at least to gallop on a consistent basis each morning over the track has got to be a help in getting these horses used to the deeper surface. And so that's a great question. That's in my mind, is going to definitely play as one factor in my handicapping.
The Asmussen early move out there, I thought was pretty telling. And probably 4 years ago, maybe, when Asmussen sent Scott Blasi out for a winter and tried to establish a beachhead. And of course the racetrack wasn't necessarily the same way then, but I think they struggled a little bit. And, The fact that they went out early like this is notable. And obviously Midnight Bisou and Matoli are the principal stars, but there's plenty more. They got the babies as well Shoplifted, for instance, in the juvenile and Wicked Whisper for the Lieblongs in the girls' race, so they've got a strong hand that they bring out. It's going to be the other issue when it comes to trying to decipher this, Rich, on Friday. You always look to what the track is doing on Friday to maybe make some interpretation for how to approach Saturday. But in this case, dealing with the juvenile races, the two, you've only got those two, and obviously there's not going to be any East Coast horses participating in the Golden State races, so you really can't count on the juvenile performances as necessarily a gauge on what's going to happen Saturday. I mean, the juveniles could misfire for all kinds of reasons.
Well, that's certainly a possibility. I know a horse that jumped off the page to myself and a lot of people looking at the juvenile day, the stars of the future day, is Dennis's Moment. He has been working so fast that I'm salivating at what he can do next Friday, and I certainly hope he runs to Hoyle, because that would be exciting if he's able to run a big race. He could create a natural East-West kind of like competition with Bob Baffert's Eight Rings, who seems to be possibly the best out West, and again, Dennis's Moment, the best back East. And we always like rivalries, and this might be the first step of maybe these two meeting multiple times.
From what you've seen so far, we had Nick Tamaro earlier. Steve Haskin just spent an hour. We spent a good half hour on the classic. What are some of your initial impressions? You talk about a horse, like that. That we want to see not only what they do in the Breeders' Cup, but then look forward to 3-year-old season. That's one of the real appeals of the juvenile card on Friday. What other horses, what other spots, Rich, are you initially focused on and you know, particularly, you know, eager to get the fields drawn and you know, start to make decisions?
Well, in my mind, I think the most interesting angle that certainly will get played up a lot is the decision of Bill Mott to enter Elate, first preference in the Classic. I've been reading a lot of comments on social media. There's a lot of people who don't think that was a good move, but I certainly would not question anything that Bill Mott decides to do because, one, he's in the Hall of Fame already, and I will never be. And two is I'm sure he has thought this through and bounced the idea off a lot of people in his circle of advisors and friends. And so he did not come to a decision like this lightly. So I'm really interested to see how she runs. The last time we had a Philly / mare running the Classic was, of course, the Great Zenyatta. And, her resume speaks for herself. I don't think anybody questioned her. At least I hope they didn't. They questioned her running in the Classic twice. She won 1 year and then got beat ahead by Blame in the second go-round. But, you know, I think this is a good opportunity for Elate because this is not, in my mind, one of the most talented Classic fields that we've seen down the pike. It's a good group, but I think that if you look at the speed figures going back on a lot of the horses that have entered, they're good speed figures, but they're not great speed figures. And Elate, depending on your sources, either consistently can consistently run with them on her best day or is not that far behind. And it's a proven factor. She's 3 for 3 at going a mile and a quarter. So, in the last furlong or two, when some may be gasping, the hope is that she'll be just come on like a Amazon tank in the stretch. And that would be real interesting if she could upset that group. So that's my number one horse as far as an interest.
Well, in fact, you earlier this week, you wrote a little piece, kind of looking at some price potentials and some horses that you already think that you might want to bet on, and Elate was a big focus. In fact, you started the discussion with her. What other prices have you just been kind of tracking? Knowing that once the fields got assembled, that you would probably utilize.
Well, I guess if I could go back to that story, I did write it for America's Best Racing website, and I focused on three. Space limitations kind of prevented me from going much deeper, but I will as we get into the coming days. But the second horse I listed is actually a fairly high marquee horse from the Triple Crown season is Improbable for Bob Baffert. I think people who watched his race in the Pennsylvania Derby the last time out, the horse acted up in the starting gate again. I don't know what exactly caused it. I'm sure Bob Baffert has been trying a million things to try to remedy the behavior situation in the gate, but the horse got off slowly and then made a huge run to get into the race and only lost it by like a length and a quarter, length and a half, and a blanket finish at the wire. But he's running and entered in the mile. I think it's a really good spot for him. I know there's going to be a lot of high-profile candidates who are going to be bet above him. But, the thing that happens at Santa Anita, sometimes you get a little too fast a pace, especially horses that are used to running 22s and 45s. They may not be able to relax as much as the connections would want and set up a fast pace. And I'm probable that everything I read about him has been training brilliantly for Baffert. So I thought he would be a dangerous price horse. I think he'll go off at a higher odds than people might assume because there's some other horses that'll take money. And if he behaves himself, Steve, and brings his A game, I mean, he's another horse I'm looking at hopefully a juicy price.
You know, the one thing that and he was my Derby pick, and I've been a fan of his literally from day one. And I was at Los Al for the Futurity. Baffert in the Dirt Mile. With this kind of horse, I think has been, I can't recall top of my head that he's had much success with this, to be honest. And as we're discussing this, I wanted to see. I don't know if I can parse out dirt mile starters from Baffert on the Breeders' Cup page. Here we go.
Well, you're actually bringing up an interesting point with Bob Baffert. In all candor, there have been some Breeders' Cups where it looked like he had many, many shots to win, and the horses didn't run the oil. So you actually touch on something that has historical perspective. Sometimes his horses have not performed the way that he thought they would.
Well, and Rich, here's the obvious horse parallel. Dortmund, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Who was a well-beaten fourth? How about the factor eighth in 2011? How about More Spirit, who was dreadful? It was awful that day, and I think may have gone favored. Irrefutable in 2011 was ninth. This has been a black hole for Baffert in the Breeders' Cup.
Well, you know, I can't argue with what's on paper, and you know, the thing I would like to take a look at the charts and see maybe what some of the prices were. But the thing with one of the factors for me being intrigued by Improbable is that
he'll be a price.
He's not going to be among the favorites. So if you're going to be wrong, I'd rather be wrong with a 10-1 shot than an 8-5 shot.
Oh, I no doubt about it. It's not like Dortmund or More Spirit. You know, you're looking at. I brought this up just very quickly with Nick Tamaro earlier this morning, and I don't know why I'm not finding my my dirt mile. Here we go. There are between Omaha Beach and Colefront, Mr. Money's going to take money. I suppose Improbable will get bet ahead of Prince Lucky. Spun to Run is going to be a talking horse in here, so he'll take a little, but I think Improbable probably takes. He'll probably be what? Fourth choice, probably, right?
Yeah, in that ballpark. I think Catalina Cruiser will take some money.
No, he's going to the sprint. He's going in the sprint.
He's going in the sprint. Thank you. So if at best he's fourth choice, and what is the field size, 10 or 11, 12?
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll put him in the ballpark at 8-1, 10-1, something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just, you know, because when you mentioned the dirt mile in Baffert, I may have singled either Dortmund or More Spirit in one of those spots and just recalled that particularly with the 3-year-olds that, and I'm pretty sure that both of these that we're looking at, Dortmund and More Spirit, did this as 3-year-olds. It didn't go well. Not that, you know, listen, horses are individuals. You were going to look at the PPs and go from there. And I'm a fan. I was a fan of those two as well.
You know, I like to have a saying that sometimes I type out, whether it's in the column or in my horse comments when I handicap, is I always like to say horses are only human, and that's because, like us, they're made out of flesh and blood and bone, and they have good days and bad days. So they're not machines, and we're not machines either. So, you know, stuff can happen.
Well, and the third horse you brought up came up this morning, too, with Nick Tamaro. We were talking about the filly and mare sprint, and you're looking for somebody from off the pace, and I think you found it.
Well, I hope she's one of the contenders because, you know, I went for Dawn the Destroyer as a third horse to take a look at from my column. Historically, in the Breeders' Cup sprint, whether it's for the males or the females, there's always the possibility of a pace meltdown, because when you've got 10 or 12 or 14 horses, some of them are going to be, there's only one way of going. And if you get all it takes for a speed duel is two. And if you get three or four, you know, you could possibly set it up for a deep closer. And so I always like, when I'm building a ticket, I certainly like to include a couple of, you know, bomb potentials to come from the clouds, so to speak. And I think Dawn the Destroyer is a horse that potentially could get overlooked. She has a resume that doesn't include a lot of ones in it. She's been, you know, in the money in quite a few good stakes races, but she's kind of a grinder. But I think if the pace is really, really fast, a little too fast, she's just one of those that's just going to pop out of the woodwork and hopefully run a big race for me.
Either on either side, who do you think ends up being the most reliable favorite on the weekend at first blush?
Well, you know, it's an interesting angle in a lot of the turf races. I quite frankly haven't studied all of the Europeans, but you know, I know they did quite well last year at Churchill Downs, and you know, I picked quite a few of them to run, and knock on wood, most of them did run. But I think historically, the Europeans on the grass in Southern California don't fare as well. So, you know, it's kind of an interesting angle when you're going through those races on the grass. You've got Chad Brown's Large Shadow and so many of them. And, you know, they'll get bet, but a lot of people are going to, you know, try to play the wise guy and play the Aidan O'Briens and the Charlie Appleby type horses. And they have really good resumes coming over from overseas. But, you know, just as a I don't have the statistical information in front of me, Steve, but my memory serves me from touch and feel that a lot of the Euros just don't run as well in Southern California. And I think one of the primary reasons is, you know, the weather is, like, usually perfect out in California. And a lot of times the grass has more of a tendency, whether it's in Del Mar or Santa Anita, to be the course to be firmer. And with that being the case, a lot of times the winner, the better style is to be a speed or stalker. Deep closers will have a more difficult time, not only because of the firm ground, but because now you got to navigate your way through a large field to come from the back. So, you know, I'll be looking at some of those Chad Brown horses to see whether they're one of them might be a worthwhile single, a bricks and mortar type, a Sister Charlie type, or whether those European horses are going to be able to adapt and run their A game at Santa Anita.
Well, we got a few more days to just kind of get the feel, get familiar with the horses. Perfect opportunity between now and draw day, and then we'll dig in when we talk next week. And I won't press you for too many you know, for too many selections next week, because Rich's full analysis will be available at BrizNet. Rich, before we go, we got about 2-3 minutes. You got anything at Keeneland today, a Simo play? Or I know Santa Anita's got a very narrow set of races today. I don't know if there's anything at Santa Anita worth
yeah, well, shooting. Let me try a couple of horses. I will give out a horse that I'm going to single in my late pick five at Santa Anita. In race number 7, it's 5.5 furlongs on the grass, and I thought the one-horse Boa Nova really has a pace advantage of going to the front, potentially being low and early speed. And if that's the case with Edward Maldonado, I think the one may be the absolute horse to beat. And as I said, I'm going to use it as a single on my tickets. As far as a horse with a little more meat on the bones, let's go to Keeneland in race number 5. It's 6.5 furlongs, optional claimer 62.5. And my simulcast horse on my sheet today is the number 6 horse, Anna Thiele, if I can pronounce that correctly. Mm-hmm. Rusty Arnold and Chris Landeros. I believe the horse is 8-1 in the morning line. But I thought this horse just has not been as sharp this year as last year and the previous years. But the horse has run in some really, really good stakes races. Hasn't run as well as Rusty Arnold would like, but I thought the last race showed some wake up, showing good speed and not giving it up until the very late stages of the race. So, you know, I think maybe this horse is rounding into an A game. It's the right kind of spot, class drop of the 6 in a Thiele from Rusty Arnold.
Yeah, and you can never go too wrong playing around Rusty and Vicky Oliver, actually, with the. And actually, Rusty's got he's got Skeptic too in that pricey feature in the 8th. As a matter of fact, I didn't. That's actually a good race. Lamari in there too for Brad Cox. Nepali Spirit. This is the return race. I'm glad we looked at this because I had forgotten to mention Daddy Is a Legend returns in that spot in the eighth today.
Okay. Okay. You know, the beauty, I love playing Keeneland this year. In fact, when I was
fun.
On the horse, but yeah, when I played the handicapping tournament with my New Jersey Mafia over at the Orleans, we popped some big winners at Keeneland on Saturday, not quite enough to get paid, but we finally got rocking and rolling on Saturday with some of those Keeneland bombs.
Who, you know, I didn't get the results. It's always tough for some reason, Rich. The Orleans results never are widely distributed. Do you have any details about the outcome in the Classic?
I know I'm going to butcher her name, but it's a woman who plays in all the tournaments with her husband. I think her name is like Cara Raffana, something
oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep, 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 yep. Sure.
I know I messed up her name. I apologize ahead of time. But she is in all these tournaments. She has done well before. I don't know if she has had a W before this or a big W in a tournament. But she had a fantastic three-day run, more than 11,000 points. She won the daily on Saturday and just nosed out me and Kenny and Kenny. But so she was the winner. And one of the players sitting at my table was a fellow named Paul Arnold, and he finished like 12th, and I had fun going back and forth with him all day. He caught some nice bombs on Saturday also, but congratulations to the gal who won.
Well, and I did see, about 3 weeks ago, Kenny Jordan got his NHC seat, at least the first or second one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Kenny got one, and my third partner over the weekend was actually Kenny Peck with Daily Racing Form, and
sure.
He just qualified at Monmouth Park, I believe, on Sunday.
Oh, very nice. I haven't seen the weekend recap, and Pete and I didn't get a chance to, you know, Pete was in the UK, so we didn't really do the weekend wrap. Nice. Good for Kenny. That's awesome. So he'll be in Vegas. Rich, I appreciate it. Next week, we'll get some more Breeders' Cup decisions and, of course, Rich's analysis at BrizNet for the Friday-Saturday Breeders' Cup. Rich, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Good luck, everybody.
Rich Eng and, of course, RaceDayLasVegas.com for Rich's Southern California analysis and at BrizNet for next weekend. Thank Rich and Steve Haskin, Dick Powell, and Nick Tamaro. Nick will be back with us tomorrow. We'll look at those at the late pick five, as well as everything at Belmont. We'll check in with Jay Privman and Marty McGee to wrap up the Keeneland season. Maybe you'll see another Welch visit and more. Hammer, Professor Hammerly at University of Arizona has been great. He's been having a lot of fun learning as he goes, too. First experience doing that. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Nice action at Belmont, Santa Anita, and elsewhere. Keeneland, obviously. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Replay 6 to 9. 3 o'clock HRN coverage here on SiriusXM. Thanks.
You have to go killing all the bees.